We have to take his yoke, and then we have to take his heart. To learn Christ is an ongoing process of sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're constantly being filled with the Spirit. Amen.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of Philippians with the message, Do You Know Jesus? Now, here's Pastor Bill.
Amen. We're going to be just covering two verses this morning. You know, Paul, the apostle, writing one of the greatest epistles in the Bible, Philippians, is called the Epistle of Joy. He's behind bars, and he has the joy of the Lord no matter what he is facing. He's there, but he's actually, even though he's in chains, he is advancing the gospel, amen, all the way into the house of Nero, even unto the palace guard. And the palace guard, loved one, by the way, remember, was about 9,000 soldiers. Think about that. And so Paul, man, he says, listen, don't you worry about me. I'm moving forward with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? This morning, as we look at chapter 3, especially in verse 10, you know, Christ is our goal. Amen? He's our goal. We want to not only be like him, we want to be with him. So this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, do you know Jesus? Now you say, well, of course I know Jesus, I'm born again. But that's not what I mean. So this morning, as we look into our text, you know, we want to remember that we left off with the seven incredible advantages that Paul had according to the flesh, and that he counted them in Philippians 3, 7 and following. He counted all of them as rubbish, as dung, something to be thrown out and discarded, that he might gain or win Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is, of course, from the law, but the righteousness that is found through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, that perfect standing that you have when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you are forever justified in the eyes of God. So we left off last time to be found in him. To be found in him is also to be known as in him. Amen? But now this morning, our great text. And I tell you, it's been a long time since I struggled with something that I know so well, and yet I don't know it so well. Do you understand? The older that you get in the Lord, do you know the less that you finally say, I don't really understand anything. Did you know that? I mean, yes, you know the doctrine and so forth, but we want to go beyond doctrine, always apply doctrine and live in the doctrine of the Word of God, but we want to go beyond that. So when I say there, like Paul, look what he says in this great epistle in verse 10. He says that I may what? Know him. Now, why would Paul say that? Was Paul filled with the Holy Spirit? Had Paul died and there in what, Acts chapter 14, the stoning, and when they stoned him and then he was raised up? Listen, did Paul, who had gone into the heavenlies, into heaven itself, and he says, I need to know the Lord. Paul, don't you know the Lord? He appeared to you on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter, I don't know what it was, at 18, whenever Paul there with Corinth, and he was so beat up, and he was so just exhausted, and he was discouraged. And the Lord Jesus appeared unto Paul, said, oh, Paul, don't be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you here in Corinth. Nobody's going to beat you up, Paul. He said, no, I have many people in the city, meaning many that have not been saved yet. Would you call that an experience? Yes, you would. And Paul remained there in safety for, what, 18 months in the city of Corinth, preaching the gospel. And so Paul says to us, that I may know him. What in the world is Paul saying? Listen carefully. If you go back to the word yada in Hebrew, remember, it says, and that Adam, yada, or Adam knew his wife, okay? The word yada speaks of it, I mean, as intimate and a close relationship as one can have, okay? So the word yada in Hebrew is translated in the Greek as ginosko. That means to know by experience. What a great word, amen? Do you know Jesus by experience? You know, listen, it's hard when somebody has an experience with Jesus Christ, it's hard to say, no, that didn't happen. Amen. When a person's body is healed, you know, and you say, no, God didn't really heal you, you say, you better get out the door, boy, because God did heal me. So Paul says right here, my only goal in this life that I have, and Paul is at the end of his life, and he says, I need to know the Lord. He's going, my only goal is knowing just one person intimately, in communion, to walk with him, to see him, to feel him, to know him. You know, our problem is today, we say, I need to know who I am. I don't want to know who I am because I am a messed up person. Do you understand? Knowing who I am is not going to help Bill. Did you know that? But knowing who he is going to help me greatly. People say, I need love, you know, and all these things and peace. But, okay, to know him is to have all those things. Does that make sense? So it's not about finding me, my inner child, my feminine side. Who invented that? No, it's about to know the Lord. So Paul says to us and for us as well, he says, I want to know him intimately. I want to experience him who made the stars. I want to experience him who created the world and upholds all things by his power. He says, oh, listen, I want to know him who saved me on the Damascus Road and who died for me and rose for me, ascended for me, and one day is coming for me. Amen? And that's what we should be as well. Now, listen to me now. Remember that to know Jesus is not knowing about Jesus. Okay? It's to know him. Ginosko, experience him. Now listen, does Jesus our Lord, does he want us to experience him? If so, does the Bible prove that? Let me give you the scripture. Remember Jesus and his high priestly prayer in John 17 before he goes to the cross. Listen to what he prayed. And my prayer would be, has this been answered in your life? Jesus prayed in John 17, 3. He says, oh, Father, this is eternal life, that they, the disciples, me, you, everyone that comes to Christ, that they may gnosko, or that they may know you. In other words, that intimate relationship, that they may know you, the only true God. If you want to know if there are any other gods, Jesus, from his own lips, there's only one. The only true God is our Father which art in heaven. Amen? He says, the only true God, and here it comes, and to know, gnosko, Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. In 1 John 5:20, does the Lord want us to know and experience him? Listen to it. It says in 1 John 5:20, and we know, there's that word again, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, or he's opened up our hearts, that we may gnosko, there's that word again, that we may experience, know by experience, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus said again, does Jesus want us to experience him? Listen carefully, John 10, 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know, there's that word again, I know by experience, I gnosko, I know my sheep. I know my sheep intimately. I'm a deep relationship with them because I am in them. Amen? He says, I know my sheep, and listen carefully, and I am known, that same word, gnosko, I am known by experience, if you will, by my own. That intimate knowledge, that deep intimacy. See, here's the deal. I know that all of us here this morning, we all believe in Jesus, but do you know Jesus? Amen. Do you have that experience with him, an ongoing living experience? You see, listen, we can know all about a person. We can know all about Jesus, but not really know, experience him. Does that make sense? So when we ask these questions like that, or when I ask these questions, see, knowing Jesus is more than reading the scriptures about him. Amen? That is vital, though. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's more than hearing a sermon about Jesus, isn't it? So it's not like, well, this is Jesus 101. This is more than knowing Jesus doctrinally, which all of us should do. He is the Son of the living God. He's the Savior of the world. Amen? He's the Lamb of God that takes away all the sin of the world. Now, but with all that being said, this is not about a bunch of facts. It's about an ongoing, growing, intimate, and personal communion with our Lord. You know, listen, can I tell you something? We have a great advantage. You know, for example, if we went back to the say when we were just 5 years old until the present, have we changed? Have we changed in our thinking? In other words, we're not the same person, are we? But see, when we want to have an experience with our Lord, we have a great advantage. Jesus never, never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you have an experience today with the Lord, you know what? He's not going to change next week. In other words, when you sense the love of God that comes upon you, you know in prayer or worship that Jesus loves you, the Holy Spirit is moving. Loved one, listen to me. That is an experience. Amen. And you know those things and you experience him. And you know what? Next week, his love doesn't change. You know, unfortunately, there's so much conditional love in the church today that we forgot what unconditional love is, you know? No, listen, man, to know him like that, what a great advantage. So the question is, do you want to know Jesus? In other words, not about him, but do you want to know him through experience? And I'm not talking about experiential Christianity, okay? Where it's all experience and no doctrine. No, the Bible is a balance, loved one. Listen, it says in Jeremiah 9:23, listen to what God says. Thus saith the Lord. He says, let not the wise man boast or glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might or his power. Don't let the rich man boast in his riches. Now, listen carefully. But let him who boasts, let them glory in this one thing, that he understands and yada, there's that word in Hebrew, the same as gnosko in the Greek, that he may yada know me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness on the earth. For these, God says, I delight in, saith the Lord. God delights in those who desire deep fellowship, deep intimacy with him, that yada. That's the deepest intimacy that you can have, remember? Adam knew Eve. That's talking about of a sexual experience, loved one. He knew his wife. That is a deep personal experience. So God says, you want to measure your life? You really want to have true success in your life? Well, here it is. You measure it by how much you know or have an intimate relationship with me. Now listen to me. To know Jesus by experience, we all have to believe that he is with us. Amen? Is Jesus with us? Yes. We're his body. He's the head of the church. He's here. We're two or more gathered in his name. Here he is in the midst. Amen? Yeah. But listen, we have to believe that as a fact in our hearts and in our minds. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28:20? He says, and lo, I am with you always. Look up that word always. Mario, you know what that word always means? Always. He's a scholar. He's got it down. Amen. No, it means always. It means forever. He says, lo, even unto the end of the age. And then Jesus says, amen. That means so be it forever, or most assuredly. It is certain. It is fact. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. He's with us right now. But you have to believe that. And not only that, if you want to experience the Lord, now listen, then we have to draw nigh unto God. And if we do that, what does he do? He draws nigh close right into us. Not only that, we have to present ourselves in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him. Then you really experience. That means when you say, Lord, there's the altar, and guess what? Here's Bill, and I'm putting myself on it, and it's not about me anymore. I am saying, Lord, take me, use me. I want to live for you. I want to be yours, and I want you to be mine. Jesus is someone that we learn. It's like you know, the Bible talks about husbands and wives, for example, in 1 Peter 3:7 says, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives with what? Understanding. Okay, to dwell means to live in the same house. Understanding means to understand the wife. The husband understands the wife's emotional makeup. What makes her tick? Well, you know what? When you first get married, you don't know what makes her tick. You thought you did. Then you get married and you really find out what makes her tick. Does that make sense? Okay, but you learn it, believe me. You know, you start reading her. You know, you come home and you're almost fearful. Man, I'm teasing, of course. I don't want to let you in too much on my personal life, but in Ephesians 4:20, Paul writes and he says this. He says, you have not so learned Christ. He's talking about the contrast of the world and the Christian. You have not so learned Christ. It's amazing that Paul didn't say, you have not so learned a doctrine about Christ. He said, no, you're learning a person. See, a person, you know, you may know what Christ taught. You may know about his birth, where he was born, his death, his resurrection, all the things that he said, and so forth. But that's not really learning Christ, because we're learning a person. Amen? And here's the deal. You can learn about people today, people that are dead, for example. You know, you can learn, you know, I like President Ronald Reagan, for example, as a president. You can learn all, you can go back to his early days when he was an actor, remember? Okay, I'm just checking. Maybe you don't go back that far, I don't know. You know, and then I remember what he said. What did he say? Tear down that, remember? Yes, you can study him all out, but you don't know him, do you? You can learn all about him, but you've never experienced him. You don't know him. You know, did you know that President Reagan and I had eye-to-eye contact? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll tell this side. When Rebecca and I lived in Las Vegas, he was coming in his motorcade down to Wayne Newton's house, which was not too far from our house, except our house was on the poor side of town, and Wayne Newton's wasn't, okay? Do you even know who Wayne Newton is?
Yes.
All right. Donka Shane. No, never. Now, so here in the motorcade, there's a park right on the corner of the street that you turn to go down to Wayne Newton's mansion. And so I'm right there, and I'm waiting for him to go by, and I kind of have my hands like that, you know, and everybody's screaming and yelling, oh, President Reagan, President Reagan. And this is true. So he's driving by, and maybe he's 15 feet from me. Do you understand? His window is rolled down, and he looks at me, and he looks at everybody else, because they're going crazy, and I'm just like this. And he goes, just like that. I go, ah! You know what I mean? Now, listen, I had a personal experience and eye contact with President Reagan. Do you understand? That still makes me feel good. So, but here's the deal. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. We have an ongoing living relationship, an intimate relationship, if you know him. But you have to know him. So when Paul talks about learning a person, again, it's not like learning a language or whatnot. It's learning Jesus himself. And to learn Jesus, we have to do at least two things, besides getting into the word, many, many other things that I don't have time to cover. The first thing we have to do, if we're really going to learn a person, we have to take his yoke, and then we have to take his heart. To learn Christ is an ongoing process of sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're constantly being filled with the Spirit. Amen? So Jesus himself, do you know what? He invites all of us. He says, you know what? You want to learn about me? Then I am inviting you to come and do so. Matthew 11:28, listen carefully. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Here it comes, the command. Take my yoke upon you, here it is, and learn from me. Study me, experience me, let me lead you. If you're going to yoke up with Jesus, like the yoke of an oxen, you remember? Remember what they did? They would take an older oxen, and he was the one who was in the yoke, and he knew what he needed to do, and they'd put a younger oxen with them in the yoke, and then the older oxen would teach the younger oxen. Well, listen, that's what Jesus does to us, but you have to yoke up with him to experience him. And more than that, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. Be like me. He says, I'm gentle. I am lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, learn from me. What? His lowly heart. Look at my heart. Find out why I love and what I do and all of those things. Become a student, if you will, of Jesus. Now listen to me. It is only as you follow Jesus Christ that you experience the heart of Christ, or the gnosko. What did Jesus tell us? He said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, he talks about the cost of discipleship. And remember what he says. He said, only those who lose their life gain their life. Amen? And he says, if you want to come after me, if any man desires to come after me, he says, here's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself, disown yourself. We don't like that, but you know, that's the best thing that can ever happen to us because we are messed up. Do you understand that? But when we say, it's not about me anymore, it's not my plans, it's not any of those things, I don't want my plans anymore. They always end me up over in the ditch or something. You understand? I want whatever you want. I want my will swallowed up in your will, Lord. I don't want me, I want you. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is only gain. Loved one, listen, we deny ourselves that no more about my life, my plans, my strategies. It's not how I want my marriage, it's how you want your marriage. It's not about how, it's about you, what you want. And whenever you do that, you start going, ooh, I'm experiencing something. Maybe it's correction, you follow me? But you experience it. He says, you take up the command, take up his cross daily, and then those words, follow me, come after me, travel with me. It's only, loved one, it is only, as you will never have a true ongoing experience with Jesus Christ, our Lord, unless you go after him and follow him. Some of you might need to ask this morning, how far is Jesus down the road ahead of me? And I'm way back here. And the only other way that we can experience the Lord is by being obedient to the command in chapter 2, verse 5, where it tells us, it says, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Another translation says, we are to live and to act and to think like one man. There you go. If you start thinking like him and acting like him, you're going to experience him. Listen to me, loved one. Augustine said this. He said, for most of my life, I was searching for Jesus outwardly. He said, but I couldn't find him. Then I realized that I could find him inwardly. Listen to me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. See, the way that you travel with the Lord is you hear that inner voice, because we are filled, we are endued with power, the Holy Spirit, amen. We're sealed with the Spirit, but we also, the Holy Spirit lives in us and he's alongside of us, amen. Now listen, that inner voice, we hear it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You've heard God's voice at least once in your life because you got saved, amen. So don't tell me you've never heard the voice of the Lord, because you have in here. Now, it says as we walk in this world and the Holy Spirit is in us, the naos of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the whole church, and yes, individual believers. You can't divide up the Holy of Holies, amen? It's impossible. The Holy Spirit is the same all the time. He lives in us and he leads us and he guides us and he speaks to us. And then you learn his presence, you learn his voice, you experience the Holy Spirit.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with the conclusion to today's message. And we hope to see you once again. Thank you for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.